The reading today is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. John chapter 6, verses 56 to 69. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Oh, say, should be good afternoon, just past at noon. I'm very happy to be part of this morning service, this worship with all of you, my dear brothers and sisters of St. Andrew's. We are especially thankful for five parishioners are confirmed today. Thereafter, they shall continue their spiritual growth within the Holy Spirit. The gospel reading we just heard was taken from chapter 6 of the Gospel of St. John. It is of particular encouragement to our spiritual growth. Not only our five brothers and sisters who are confirmed today, but all of us for our spiritual growth. Jesus had once preached to the masses saying, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them." On hearing it, many disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Why do you suppose the disciples find the teaching is too hard to accept? Why is it too difficult to understand? Hard to accept. From the beginning of chapter 6 of the Gospel of St. John, it had been recorded that masses of over 5,000 gathered to hear the word of Jesus. Afterward, Jesus performed the miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's a very, very famous miracle according to the Bible. And Jesus fed those who had come to hear him. So what is the meaning behind this message of "whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them"? The gospel accepted presents to us a scenario. The crowd approached Jesus. They did not know there was food to be distributed. They had no idea about that. They had come for his teaching only, come for the message of Jesus only. Then Jesus had compassion on them and relieved their hunger. And gradually, later, they were coming for the food and less for the teaching of Jesus. So I believe their initial motive for coming to Jesus was pure before they ate their fill of the loaves and fish. With human motivation to follow a religion sometimes may be quite complicated. Even we see in the, according to the Bible, even the 12 disciples who followed Jesus had dubious initial motives. They yearned for coming of a political Messiah, for the reestablishment of the throne of King David. And they wanted to sweep away the shame and misfortune from the history of the Israel. During Jesus' earthly ministry, people saw that he had the makings of king, but they did not see that he was the priestly Messiah. They were expecting a king who could feed and care for their need and care for everything for them. Those followers had only simplistic and superficial motives. So when Jesus said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood, I remain in them," their disciple, his disciple responded, "This is a hard teaching, very difficult to comprehend. Who can accept it?" They find it hard to accept because there has never been anyone throughout history who would ask other to eat his flesh. If you today hear Ian, who would say, "Come to eat my flesh, drink my blood," you would definitely think he must be crazy, right? Surely we are not all becoming vampires, right? Why did Jesus not give them a clearer explanation and answer? It is because his words were imbued with the sovereignty of God. When Isaiah, according to Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah was chosen by God, God said, "Go and tell the people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of these people calloused, make their ears dull, close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." This is a different concept than our understanding today, that God wants to save all mankind. So we have to pay attention to another way described by the Bible. Not everyone who approached Jesus was blessed, because there were two types of people in that crowd. First, there were those who came because they were following their own will and chose to approach. And second, there were those who approached because they were moved by God the Father. Today, when we contemplate followers of Jesus in modern age, do they come because they are motivated by God the Father? Or because they have heard that they are profit and gains and interest? If people come for material gain, for personal interest, practical benefit, they will leave when they don't see any benefit, any interest there. But if they are attracted by the God the Father, they will stay steadfast even at the most difficult of times. And they will keep listening even when the teaching is hard. God will then open their eyes and open their ears and open their hearts, and they will understand the way of Christ Jesus preached. When Jesus' earthly ministry encountered adverse circumstances, many left his side. The way Jesus advocated was not an easy path. The lesson Jesus taught were not easy lessons. Anyone approaching Jesus looking for sweet-sounding message and not seeking truth would never reach spiritual growth, no matter how many years they travel along. Hence, we can see some followers today. They become harder-hearted as time passes. While new believers might touch upon spiritual mystery as they enter into the faith. So God can certainly let those who hold themselves in high esteem become foolish. He could also open the eyes of simple believers that they might understand the truth of Jesus. Jesus clearly separated earthly sustenances from heaven food through the miracle of the loaves and fish. While we do need earthly food to sustain our bodies, even more so do we require the nourishment of spiritual food of our mind and of our heart and of our soul. So what spiritual sustenance do we need? At the time, the crowds around Jesus immediately recall manna given from heaven in Sinai wilderness. Jesus said that was not spiritual food. For the ancestors, they all ate this, but they have all perished anyway. Jesus was trying to direct their gaze, their eyesight, upon spiritual concerns. That is the way of God. That is his word. This is what sustains spiritual life. While those who rely on earthly food would remain earthly beings, Jesus was leading the crowd and his disciples to understand him, to accept him, and to receive him. So he said, "My flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink." We can understand why the disciples find his teaching confusing, because we know from the Old Testament that blood is unclean and cannot be ingested. Yet, we can see the original meaning of the Bible. We know the incarnation of Christ means that he was of flesh and blood. This miracle is the manifestation of the way of God on earth, as what we read in the Gospel of John chapter 1, when Christ came to dwell among us. He was full of grace and truth. That means God was on earth among us through Jesus Christ. This is really a hard teaching. Who can accept it? This curious tells us that Jesus' teaching was beyond the understanding of most religious people. Today we prefer to hear simplistic and amusing teaching, funny teaching. Yet Jesus was trying to bring us to surpass ourselves so that we do not expect the church to modify her teaching to match the acceptancy level of the masses. The church has many lessons, many messages of God to convey. So we cannot always avoid complex issues because people who find it difficult to comprehend may turn away. No. Yet if the church endeavors to adjust the complexity of biblical teaching to appease the market, we will never achieve any spiritual growth. Now imagine if you have a child graduating primary school and enters into secondary school after summer holidays, few days later. So all the new lessons will be something that they have not encountered while in elementary education. They may find it hard to understand. Is it then the teacher's responsibility to explain the lessons, even the hard lessons, which is new knowledge to the class? If the teacher say, oh, I will not teach you what you do not know about. It's too hard for you. I will only tackle what you already know. Then after 6 years of repeating all the elementary lessons, students find that they cannot take DSE and are unable to graduate. Now I ask you, if you are parents, you are the parents, will you send your children to schools such as this? Think about it. So there are people in our midst who would become angry and argumentative when encountered with difficult texts in the Bible. They would vent their frustration in saying, what is this? It's nonsense. None of this rational. It's outdated. Therefore, they will become dismissive of the Bible and give up their studies and their search for spiritual growth. But yet, why is it then when people do not understand Einstein? They do not say, it's not rational, I don't believe him. But would instead cower and give way and say, oh, I know my IQ is not as good as Einstein. My IQ is low. All this is beyond my comprehension. I don't know the theory of relativity. Reading Einstein's make me realize that I have a peer for my brain. If I read further, I will only be confirming that I'm a numbskull. Does it not strike us as being strange that when we read difficult biblical texts, we don't take similar attitude and said, Lord, you are teaching a heart, yes. I know that I'm not spiritual enough to comprehend your will. Give me the grace of wisdom so I can understand your will. I can know your truth. No, on the contrary, we're humble in front of scientists, but are arrogant in front of God. When concerned into such a circumstance, as Jesus said, then what if you see the Son of Man ascended to where he was before? In saying this, we could see that Jesus was exasperated. The Son of God had come into the world, only to see that one by one people turned away and left him. For the 5 loaves and 2 fish, people came flocking to him to be fed. And yet, when he offered his body and blood, they turned away from him and departed. Jesus turned to ask his 12 disciples, do you want to leave too? Simon Peter said, something which was most significant. in the human history. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Thanks the Lord. Peter represented believers of generation to hell, Christ with his most important salutation. Peter understood that the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. A person is only truly alive if he is alive in the Spirit, because it is the Spirit that causes a person to live, not his or her body. The flesh counts for nothing. It's Jesus' way to remind us that we were made from the dust at the creation. It was God who blew breath into the creature, and he came to life with a spirit. So a man without spirit is not a human being. When he was made of ashes, although he had a body, he was not yet alive. It was the Spirit that made him alive. Therefore, when the Spirit is absent, the body is not truly alive. Then Jesus said, "The word I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life." In this way, the word of Christ would be the way of life and the way of the Spirit. Today, we ought to ask ourselves, why do we follow Christ our Lord? Why do we listen to sermons? Why do we seek baptism and confirmation? It is because we truly acknowledge that the Lord possesses the way to eternal life, and we have no other to follow but Him. Is it because we embrace the teaching of Jesus and know that He imbues the Spirit of life and sets us alive? My dear brothers and sisters, in the long journey of our spiritual growth, we must let the word of Jesus enrich and guide our lives. For the brothers and sisters among us who are seeking confirmation, you must embrace the Holy Spirit and continue to grow in the truth and the way of Christ. Those of us here present today are not audience, and we are more than only witnesses. We are here because experiencing their confirmation is a chance for us to draw closer to Christ's way of eternal life. We are also propelled to continue our own spiritual growth. Jesus said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them." Let us pray. O Lord, let us thank and praise you. We are reminded of your truth. We are attracted to your way. You have made us who we are by your grace and favor. In today's world, there are relationships based on gains and profits. There are fleeting successes and achievements. But you have bestowed upon us the heavenly food of eternal life and shown us the way to eternal life. Who else should we follow? We ask you for the grace to let us know you more clearly, yearn for you more dearly, follow you more closely, and that we shall be obedient unto you all the days of our lives. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.